Hi, everyone. This is Eric Steven of Three Inning Save Podcast. Just a note before listening to this episode, we recorded this on Sunday night. It is now Monday afternoon. We recorded before news broke that Julio Urias was arrested on suspicion of felony domestic violence. So he's kind of in limbo right now, but just know that any sort of discussions we had about him, the Dodgers rotation, came before this news. So take that with a grain of salt. The Dodgers released a statement. He did not travel with the team. This is the statement, quote, "We are aware of an incident involving Julio Urias. While we attempt to learn all the facts, he will not be traveling with the team. The organization has no further comment at this time." Urias was originally scheduled to start on Thursday against the Marlins. He's not traveling on the road trip, so that won't happen. I would imagine he'll be placed on administrative leave at some point by MLB under the purview of the joint domestic violence policy, which has been in place since 2015. Urias was suspended for 20 games in 2019 for a separate incident. This is obviously terrible news, but just wanted to put that out there, that we did discuss Julio Urias in this episode, but again, recorded before we knew this. So just take that with a grain of salt. Anyway, and here's the rest of the episode. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Four Inning Save Podcast. Are you going to do this every time Ryan Yarbrough does it?
Yeah, we have a four inning save this week, so I think that's there's nothing else I think Dodgers wise to talk about. So we're
the Dodgers break down could have lost
pitch.
Every game this week, and it still would have been a successful week. They didn't lose every game this week. They lost three in a row. That felt a little painful. We're going to break those down. We have some questions from Craig. We have in the week started off great, so we can kind of reminisce.
It's
about
September now. Holy crap.
Yeah, they lost their August magic, I guess. They won today. We're recording this on Sunday, and yeah, we're going to break down. And then it being September, one, giantly expanded rosters, not really.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, we can start kind of thinking of playoffs and rosters and all of that. So we'll get all of that after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I don't want to make excuses because the Dodgers, especially the offense, looked a little anemic in the series against the Braves. But outside of one of the games, all of them were pretty close.
It's over, Jacob. Yeah. Well, it's just like one of those things, right? You go into it, the very clearly two top teams in the National League. Like when they started the series, the Dodgers passed the Orioles, so they had the two best records in baseball at that point. I haven't checked. I'm assuming the Orioles won more than one over the weekend, so maybe they passed them. But and you're like, well, it as always, like what happens now is great, but like it really does. Like what happens in October is going to measure this. So like you don't want to like overreact. That said, fun as hell series. Yeah. Like just generally. And the Dodgers got their heads kicked in, or the starting pitchers did. So like, yeah, it's like, so you break it down, right? Like the last two games, very close pitching duels, like, you know, pretty much throughout the first two games, Braves got 6-run leads early. Dodgers tried to come back, and nearly did on Thursday because, we'll get to this, but it was still August, so Mookie Betts had the magic stuff with him, nearly brought them back. But yeah, like it was just like it was a different situation. I would say like, well, this is almost certainly recency bias, but the most impressive takeaway from the series for me was Bobby Miller. He pitched Sunday. And he won, which, as you noted, was rare for the Dodgers against the Braves this weekend. That was their only win of the series. He went 7 innings, a career high. He sort of, like, flirted with this the last month or so. Like, 3 of his last 5 starts, he's pitched into the 7th. In Arizona a couple weeks back, it's a scoreless tie, brought out for the 7th. He allowed a single and a walk, and they pulled him. And then Dodgers got out of that. They ended up winning later. Last week in Cleveland, Miller had a lead, pitched into the 7th, got an out, also allowed a single and a walk, and then left with the lead. Then Caleb Ferguson went in and had one of his Ohio games. He's had like 2 blow-up games in Ohio this year, and that was one of them. The Guardians scored 5 runs, the first 2 of which were charged to Miller, who got the loss. But he's like generally been pitching very, very well and pitching deep into games. And then today, Sunday, he had retired. It was 2-0. The Dodgers were leading. He had retired 16 in a row at a certain point. And then Matt Olson, with 2 outs in the 7th, the deepest Miller's ever been in a game, hit a home run like in the back of the bullpen and in right field where the Braves are. What was funny, like the Braves hit 8 home runs in the first 3 games of the series. Matt Olson on Sunday, that was his 44th home run, which leads the majors this year. He was 0-15 before that home run. Like, so out of all the offense the Braves were doing, Matt Olson wasn't like joining the parade until then. And then they let Miller walked the next guy, his first walk, his only walk, and then they let him finish the inning. So, like, little steps of growth here. So he leaves with a 2-run lead. The Dodgers tack on insurance. They end up winning. After the game, I saw some of the post-game. I didn't go today because Sunday's a busy day, but he said Miller's in consideration for a playoff spot. And my first thing was like, yeah, like, have you seen the rest of the rotation? Like, look around, buddy. Like, who else is there? But I think it's also good for him to say that, like, just generally out loud, like, you know, very clearly. Because I was talking with someone on Saturday before the game. We're just talking about how up and down everything is, because there's at times where you're like, well, it's very clearly going to be like Julio Urias and Clayton Kershaw games 1 and 2. But then you're like, what do we know about Clayton Kershaw since he's come back? We don't, about his shoulder, right? He still hasn't like pitched deep into a game. like, and then you're like, well, Lance Lynn goes deep every time. He really hadn't had, and then, like, his last few starts, like, I don't know. But then, like, and then Urias, like, has had, like, too many, like, just clunkers. Like, his ERA is 460. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, there's more to pitching than that, but, like, bad year. He's in a bad year. Like, he, but at times, like, you're like, he's fine. And then I said, just to be on record, I said this before Sunday. I was like, there's times, too, where you're like, is Bobby Miller the game one starter? Yeah. You know, like it's, I don't think that's ever going to happen, but like, or not this year, but, that's how like sort of like, it just cyclical almost like it, it's just who's ever pitching best at the time. And he's been consistently like getting better. Like obviously there's like growing pains and stuff that he's gone through. But he's looked really good and the stuff's great. So like that's a big positive, I think. But again, we're sitting here recording on September 3rd. The NL Division Series doesn't start till October 7th. So a lot will get decided between now and then. But I if I was a betting man, and I am, well, I can't say that. I don't really bet that much, but just generally, I'm in favor of the prospect of betting. Miller's starting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. Like, they'll figure out a way. Another takeaway was, my God, Ronald Acuña Jr. what a ridiculous talent. So Friday comes along. He came in with 29 home runs, so he's sitting on 30. He already had 61 steals to that point. So he hit his 30th home run, a grand slam that sort of started the downhill, put the Dodgers way behind. And that was a bomb. It wasn't his biggest bomb. We'll get to that in a second. But, like, what a day for him. He got married, like, the day of that game. and then did that. He stole a base later. First 30-60 guy ever. He's at 32 and 63 right now as we're talking. 63 steals, which is ridiculous. And, yes, like, steals are inflated because – like of the rules, but he also leads by like a million in steals. Like he has more than anyone. So like, you can't discount it like too much, but, just awesome. He homered in the first three games of the series. He stole a base Thursday and Friday. Had he stolen a base Saturday, he would have, there's only been, I should have asked this as the trivia, even though it's not Dodger related, but there's only been two players ever with a home run and a stolen base in three straight games. And it's one who you might think of, Bobby Abreu, 2004. And then Adalberto Mondesi, 2020. everyone knows that. So the funny part is, so the home run Saturday was off Emmett Sheehan. We'll get to him a little bit later because it sort of factors in how this whole week was a little weird. I don't remember, have it in front of me, but I think it was 121.2 miles an hour off the bat, right? And I'm pretty, it was the hardest hit, like, home run this year, I want to say, and, like, just crazy. But Emmett Sheehan, after the game, I forgot his exact quote, but he said it sounded like a jet that went by, which is hilarious, because it was like a line drive to center, it's like, whoosh, like, so I get it. But I think the takeaway, again, like, not that, like, necessarily, I mean, it just showed in the series. I think the Braves are pretty clearly, like, the top dog in the National League. They lead the Dodgers by six games. They have a, like, a better, deeper offense. Like, the Dodgers legitimately have, like, the second-best offense, I'm pretty sure, in the majors. Like, not just by run scored, but, like, a bunch of categories. There, you could argue, like, here and there. But, like, the Braves are literally slugging 500 as a team, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's like, what are we doing? More reliable starting pitching, I would say. The Dodgers got clunkers from Lance Lynn. He gave up three home runs. He's going to give up home runs, right? But seven runs in his outing. Urias gave up three home runs. He gave up five runs total. He's given up a lot of home runs this year, too. But it was also clear, like, at least from the Dodgers side, that, like, both teams have gigantic division leads. So they're, like, they're just kind of trying to keep everyone regular, stay healthy, get ready for October type of a thing. They're not pushing, like, pedal to the metal every single inning.
like, for instance, Friday's game. I think you texted me when this happened. The Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman were pulled where they're down 6-0. And then, sure enough, I was going to listen back to last week's episode. I couldn't remember what I said. But I'm pretty sure we're talking about how, like, who's going to be called up. And it was like, I guess Miguel Vargas, but, like, it could be Colton Wong, right? Yeah. Because, like, there's just no – it wasn't clear, right? So Colton Wong, and I guess the driver – they call up Colton Wong. The driver part of it was he did have an opt-out clause and was like, oh, I might sign elsewhere. And they're like, okay, we'll call you up. Sure enough, he pinch hits for Freddie Freeman in the eighth inning down 6-0. And hits a 3-run home run in his first Dodger bet, which was hilarious. That was sort of the Dodgers also put two runners on later that inning, yeah. Which was wild. And then you know, didn't score. So that sort of ended that comeback attempt. But the Dodgers also inserted Emmett Sheehan rather than they could have had Bobby Miller go Saturday on 4 days rest and then Clayton Kershaw Sunday on 4 days rest. But they're like, well, we're going to give people extra rest when we can. So Miller got pushed to Sunday. Turns out he was pretty good Sunday, so that worked. But, like, so they insert Emmett Sheehan, right, who for a spot start to, like, push back the rotation. Sheehan had only pitched, like, three times in the month or so in AAA since he was optioned. They hadn't really stretched him out. Like, he'd only gone four innings max twice. So he's not – they haven't, like, specifically said this, but he's basically, like, kind of in a wind-down at this point, like, where he's over his 2022 innings total, but it's not egregiously so. Like, they're not, like, redlining him or anything. But he pitched really well Saturday, but he also just went four innings. He threw 76 pitches. He struck out 6, only allowed a run, and it was Acuña homer, of course. So that's sort of – you know, showed what, like, how this sort of series was treated, or it's just still a game on the schedule, right? Like, they're just trying to get by. And to sort of cover those post-Sheehan innings Saturday, the Dodgers used their four available right-handers in the bullpen, and they got, like, everyone they faced through two outs in the ninth inning. Alex Vesia was called in to get Matt Olson to end the ninth. That was a tie game. So the Dodgers bullpen currently, we've talked about this on a few episodes, they have 9 pitchers now because it's expanded rosters rather than 8. Only 5 of them are right-handed. Gus Varland is the other right-hander. He did not pitch Saturday, but that was only because he threw 2 innings the night before and 39 pitches. So, but, like, there's nobody else, like, particularly close to returning. Joe Kelly threw another bullpen session. He's going to probably need another one and maybe facing hitters before a rehab assignment. I don't, like, being back, like, this coming week doesn't seem feasible, but maybe the week after. Michael Grove, like, in theory could be back, like, this next weekend. They did say he's going to be in the bullpen if he's used at all. He's been throwing in Arizona. He's been out with a lat injury. He's supposed to join Oklahoma City, like, early this coming week for a rehab assignment. He might join the Dodgers in Washington, D.C., which is next weekend. But, like, I don't think they're going to rush him, right? And so then you have, like, Yency Almonte, who hasn't thrown off a mound. We're going on almost four weeks since he got hurt. Daniel Hudson has thrown in Arizona, still feeling soreness in his knee, long shot to make it. Blake Treinen was in Oklahoma City on rehab. He's feeling shoulder soreness to the point where he's day-to-day to, as Dave Roberts put it, even continuing the rehab assignment. So, like, he's off the radar at this point. So, like, the hope is that maybe come October, like, one of the two starter types could be factors in the bullpen, like, to add to that. Like, Grove is sort of fits that. But I think Ryan Pepiot is the mold here. Like, the guy, he was great, I think, in his 3 starts so far. Weirdly, it's not that weird if you know why, figure out why, but, like, they optioned Pepiot on Thursday to activate Shelby Miller from the IL rather than just call Miller up Friday when rosters expanded. So if Pepiot, if he's not called up by this coming Sunday, and he can't be called back that soon unless he's replacing, like, an injured pitcher, so, or injured someone, He'll conveniently fall short of accruing a full year of service time this year. Now, just to be clear, he has made a couple top 100 lists, but he's not like a lock, right, to be like in the majors continuously. So this isn't like a open and shut case, but it sets up a situation where, like, if he's good enough and sticks in the rotation next year, then like sort of goes forward and he's just like a guy who's a really good pitcher for them, they'll delay his free agency by a year because mm-hmm. by this move, right? Now, you don't want to like say like that's the sole reason, but it's a convenient byproduct of this move. But it's weird because they also he's like their fifth starter right now. I know they called up Sheehan for the spot start and he was still around Sunday. So he might get another turn this coming week. But weird move. But if you look back, the Dodgers did this very blatantly so in 2018 with Walker Buehler. They optioned him over the All-Star break, where it was one of those, like, he maybe missed one start, but it was, like, not really because it was the All-Star break. He fell at the end of the year 4 days shy of a full year, and Buehler would have been a free agent after this year instead of 2024. But speaking of Buehler and speaking of 2023 and 2024, both of those years are relevant with Buehler now because he started a rehab assignment on Sunday with Oklahoma City. Two perfect innings, two strikeouts. He allowed a couple hard hit balls. They were kind of right at people, but nothing egregious. He was averaging 94.4 miles an hour on the fastball. He's like down, he was 95.3 the last 2 years, but first start back, like that's really good. He topped out at 96. Like he's, I think, physically fine. He's going to make at least three rehab starts before potentially joining the Dodgers. Dave Roberts did say Buehler will start if he's back. Even if he's not built up, like they'll just have him be the first pitcher. And like he, like I think right away they know he's not going to be fully built up. So I think the quote from Roberts the other day was, "It's not going to be 5-75." Like, I mean, it will be eventually, and hopefully, in theory. But so if you're looking at that, so two more rehab starts from the third. Let's build in like a couple rest days here and there. So you're like 15. You're maybe looking at him back around the 20th or 21st to the Dodgers, which is like, you know, I guess you could probably get him into two major league games, maybe three, depending on how it plays out. It's going to be close, but like also it'd be roughly 13 months since his second Tommy John surgery, which is remarkable. So obviously there's still steps to go before he's like, well, Buehler's a guy in the playoff rotation, you know, like, but it's more tangible now because he's worn a uniform and played a game and like, and I watched his pitch.
Similar to the, you know, is Bobby Miller going to start? It's like, look what else we got.
Right.
Questionable Walker Buehler, probably better than almost every name they could also throw out. So
now I think what they want to avoid is like, we talked about this, like the last 2 years postseasons, they have not had four healthy starting pitchers. Now, 2021 was the worst possible timing for Clayton Kershaw's injury because it was like the last Friday of the regular season. And then like, well, we have nobody else. Like, so 2022 was like, well, we think Tony Gonsolin's going to be fine, even though he hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. He clearly wasn't. And you don't want Buehler to be in that territory, right? Sure. So like, he's at least pitching now and like building up. So it's less that. But I think there's also like, you know, especially from a second Tommy John, like there's going to be performance stuff. Like he might not have his control, like at certain points. So like that's going to be something to weigh as well. But just, you know, if he's an option, great. Like, you know, if he can make his way back. But like I said, it was pretty nice to like just see him pitching again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty fun. Just catching up on some other stuff. I know we were talking about last week how crazy, like, hot at the plate Mookie Betts was. Continued that through the end of August, which was Thursday. He won. They announced MLB, like, I never know how this works. Like, I know, like, a business, right? You have, like, in theory, there's, like, a holiday weekend or whatever, and so maybe you're not going to announce something right away. Like, Thursday was August 31st, so you could, I guess you could have announced player of the month or something on Friday. Holiday weekend, I get it. So then I kind of figured they're just probably going to wait till Tuesday, you know, because it's whatever, Labor Day weekend. But then, like, oh, Sunday night, here's MLB with the awards. Like, okay, sure. But Mookie Betts won Player of the Month in August, which was the most obvious thing in the world. In August, he set LA Dodgers records for hits with 51. I think so. The last guy with more hits by a Dodger was Lefty O'Doul in 1931 or two. I don't remember which year. And with runs scored with 35. He hit a robust 455, 516, 839, 11 home runs, 30 RBIs. So halfway decent month. But then he went hitless in his first two games of September. He did have three hits Sunday, so he's back. He's back. He's doing it again. No, but somewhat surprising because you hadn't really heard much about this, and I guess it's not – he was obviously because he wasn't putting up Mookie Betts numbers, but James Outman, Rookie of the Month for August. That's his second one this year. He was on that streak where since like the All-Star break for a certain point into mid-August, he had like a 500 on base percentage. But so for August, 277, 408, 482, five homers, 15 RBI, 17 runs. Also won it in April. So he's only the second Dodger to win Rookie of the Month twice. Cody Bellinger did it in his first two full months in May and June in 2017. That award, which I did not realize till today, has existed since 2001, and there's something regarding that momentarily.
I wonder what.
We don't have a Dodgers Rewind this coming week, but I looked. I wanted to mention, because of Mookie Betts' hot streak last week, he was 16 for 26 at one point, and I was just trying to look up like crazy six-game stretches because, you know, he was hitting like 615 or whatever it was. And you just want to see, like, who else kind of did that. And then one popped out that was, like, so shocking. But I look, so Jimmy Johnston in 1923, he played all over the infield for Brooklyn. I believe he was playing mostly shortstop this year. He had a stretch in 1923 where he was 24 for 29. Like, how is that possible? But we actually did a Dodgers Rewind back on Johnston in February 2020. The format was different then. We didn't do separate podcasts for the Rewind, so we like mixed it in, kind of like we're doing now. And I looked back at the notes. It's like one of the few times where I'm like, hey, I'm glad I keep notes. I didn't at least write in the notes the 24 for 29. He did have a stretch of six straight games with three or more hits, which was notable because I think since then, George Brett is the only person to do that in like 1976. There was someone in the 1890s, I forgot who it was, but like that's really good. But I was looking up, there wasn't a ton on like newspapers.com, like old stuff, but there was like a full-on like headline. It says Jimmy Johnston hits 828 in games for 1 week. I believe this was in the Boston Globe, I want to say. I'm just going to quote from this. A wonderful week's batting record, the best in the major leagues this year, and one of the best probably in history, was completed by Jimmy Johnston of Brooklyn when in yesterday's doubleheader he rapped out eight safe hits in nine times at bat. During the week beginning last Sunday, he made 24 hits in 29 times at bat for an average of 828. His harvest included seven doubles, a triple, and two home runs. Baseball writing was awesome. So they put like the sort of, you know, the list of games and how many hits and total bases and runs he had in those games. One of the games they got wrong in that they have him as 4 for 4 when he was 4 for 5. But I'm just going to – so the streak actually started – so they're counting the June 24th game, the full game, which when he was 1 for 2, I think he walked, and then he maybe also got hit by a pitch. My thing got cut off. I sort of cropped the game log, but he ended that game with a single, his last at bat. And then next game goes 5 for 5. next game after that, 3 for 4 hitting. Wait, did he hit for the cycle? He hit for the cycle. Yeah. So that he had a hit in his first at bat in that game. So he had 7 straight hits at one point. Then in that doubleheader that was mentioned in the Boston Globe article, he started out by making an out, and then he went had 4 hits in his last 4 at bats in game 1, 4 for 4 in game 2. So during this streak, he had streaks of 7 straight at bats with a hit, at 8 straight at bats with a hit. And then if you take those away, he was still 7 for 14 in the other at bats. So, like, what a ridiculous streak. So, yeah, that I just wanted to bring that up because I think every time it comes up, I'm astonished by it because that seems impossible.
And if I'm reading this right, it looks like he was a single shy of the cycle. Am I reading that right? 3 hits.
Oh, yeah, only 3 hits that day. Okay, that's
what a slacker. Oh,
what confused me, he did actually hit for the cycle, like, 2 years earlier or something like that. I believe he's the second Dodger to hit for the cycle ever. Getting back to, they didn't have Rookie of the Month back when Jimmy Johnson played. He wasn't a rookie in this year, but they did have it starting in 2001.
2001. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's right. I listen. So my question to you is, who was the first Dodger to win Rookie of the Month?
Hey, I have some names I can guess. You'll tell me I'm wrong, and then you'll tell me the right answer, and I will be amazed that you know it. All of that. And questions from Craig. All of that, which is just the answer. But also questions from Craig after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who was the first Dodger rookie of
the... who was the last?
James Outman. And they awarded it since 2001. I am all paying attention here.
I need to get like a buzzer or like a... not a buzzer, like a literal like an award sound when you get something right, like where it's like fanfare and all that kind of stuff.
I'm thinking, so this would have been, if you know,
I'll give you the year if you want.
I'll take a few guesses and then you can tell me it, assuming it is closer to the beginning of the awarding.
It definitely is. Yeah.
Oh, don't say that. I keep thinking of like free agents and of players acquired in trades. I'm having a hard time thinking of actual rookies. So my first guess is a little later than 2001. So perhaps it's wrong and you'll tell me.
Well, wait, but before you guess, I will tell you. So James Outman is the 9th different Dodger to win a Rookie of the Month award.
Okay.
So just to give you that.
Yeah, and I can come up with more than any of some of it just because I was following more, but yeah. In the middle, later odds.
Yeah.
So first name that came to mind a few years after it started was Russell Martin.
So Russell Martin did not win one. Yeah, he did not.
Okay. All right. Another guess. I remember this player's better year being his sophomore year, but I'm going to guess it anyways. Cesar Esturiz.
No, I'm going to look this up.
I want to say he had like a really hot April or May.
No, I think that came like a couple years in.
A couple, that was like okay. That might be. I have it as his sophomore year, but I might be wrong.
He when he got to the Dodgers, he had already exceeded rookie limits barely with Toronto.
Got it.
But even that, like, he didn't hit much until like 2005. Yeah.
Okay. My last name, and then I'll have you give me a year, and then maybe I'll tap out depending on how early it was. Chad Billingsley.
Chad Billingsley did not win one.
Okay.
So, and just as a note, the rookie of the month does not delineate. So it's like everyone's lumped in together.
Yeah.
Players.
I figured. Yeah.
I'll give you the year for 2002.
I am probably going to just tap out because that's like the year I vaguely like. I remember in September I actually wanted to watch games, but I hadn't really put it together, and I wasn't like refreshing during trade deadlines interested in baseball until 2004. So I'm going to have you tell me.
So April 2002, Kazuhisa Ishii. He won his first six starts with the Dodgers. The first five starts came in April. He was 5-0 with a 3.03 ERA. He ended up he won 14 games that year, but also walked 106 batters, and it was a weird. But he was also 28 and like just signed a I want to say a 4-year deal out of Japan to come pitch for the Dodgers. So kind of cheating in the rookie thing.
That's fine.
But my favorite part about this is that so in the Dodgers media guide, they do not the Dodgers, I was going to say they don't list him. They delineate the Dodgers in the page that has like the list of like award winners. And I looked up on Baseball Reference to double check, but it says NL Rookie Player of the Month. And then it lists all the players here. And then it has a separate thing at the bottom of the page. NL Rookie Pitcher of the Month, Kazuhisa, April 20, 2002. So no other Dodgers pitcher has won Rookie of the Month. But just to give you another chance, do you want to get the next player was in 2007? I'll even give you the month, September 2007.
James Loney?
It was James Loney. Okay. That was his crazy month where he went nuts. I think he drove in 32. The others, I'll just run through the list. This would have been a good one. Blake DeWitt, May 2008.
It would have been a guess of mine, I think.
D. Gordon, September 2011. Yasiel Puig, June 2013. And then perhaps my favorite on here, Alex Guerrero, April 2015. Corey Seager, June 2016. And then the two Bellinger years. And then before, he was the last one to win one before Outman this year. So yeah. That was... good stuff.
Well, I have trivia questions for you, and by me I mean Craig, but I'll be playing game show host. I'll be reading them to you. So I'll have the answers, so I'm gonna feel great because it's time for
questions from Craig. We love them.
You know it's gonna be great trivia questions when it starts with the sentence fragment when Austin Barnes homered last month. You ready?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Before we get into this, I want just to set the stage because Saturday was Austin Barnes bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium, and it was great.
Do you think he's the lowest WRC plus player to ever get a bobblehead in the year he was given it?
Yeah. Maybe. So maybe, I have to look. But well, earlier
I mean
in the week,
I mean outside, not just Dodgers ever.
earlier in the week, there was a weird decision given the timing. It was a joint rookie bobblehead with James Outman and Miguel Vargas.
Yeah.
So they James Outman's wife threw the first pitch out. Miguel Vargas was in Oklahoma City, where he's been since July. So that was weird. But so to set the stage, his family's there. His wife, Austin Barnes' wife, threw out the first pitch. His son Royce, maybe he's two. I don't remember how old he is, but like. Before, like, pregame festivities, like, the grounds crew's, like, still, like, finishing up, like, hosing down, getting the infield ready and stuff. But they're kind of finished.
Hosing down Austin.
Yeah, that's right.
Gotta give him a bath.
He's so hot right now, yeah. No, and the first, I was kind of just sort of watching, but I think one of the cameras on the field, were, and they are actually putting on the video board, Austin Barnes' son just, like, started booking it for the infield, and they're like, oh, and then like, so the family's like, oh, okay, so they go like corral him. He's like throwing a fit. He tries it again, and he's like throwing a fit. I mean, it had to be like a sort of a bit of an ordeal, right? But yeah. Like, it was also adorable, and yeah. But and to the point where, when his Austin Barnes' wife threw out the first pitch, she did it from the mound while holding Royce. And so, I mean, look, the pitch bounced, obviously, but who cares? That, yeah. She threw a pitch while holding a baby. She's a hero in my book. And then later in that game, Austin Barnes doubled and scored the Dodgers' first run. So he's on a 7-game hitting streak right now.
When Austin Barnes homered last month, it meant that he had at least one home run in 7 straight seasons as a Dodger. So today's trivia questions are about Dodgers who have streaks of homering at least once in consecutive seasons. I almost nailed that and then just had the trivia questions. Since divisional play began in 1969, 3 Dodgers have homered at least once in 13 straight seasons. Can Eric name these annual home run threats?
I don't know. No, let's see. So I think... One, I'm guessing, is Steve Garvey.
Correct.
Is he 70 to 82?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, since 69. Okay. Getting to 13 years is a lot. So, like, for instance, Andre Ethier played 12 years for the Dodgers, so he's not there. 06 is 17. And for some reason, so there's got to be a year. I'm going to just say it just for volume, but Bill Russell.
No.
Okay. I was going to, he had to have a 0 year in there somewhere. The other thing is, like, I think they got rid of Ron Say after 81, and he didn't debut early enough to make 13 years, so I'm not going to say him. And I don't know. Oh, okay, wait. Now, okay, Steve Yeager.
Steve Yeager is one of the names you're missing?
Yeah. Oh, boy. So it's just one left?
Just one left. I have a very minor hint if you want it.
Yeah, I think I'll have to take it because I'm kind of having a rough
go. I would not consider this player a home run threat. I think Craig's lying to you.
Oh, I think because he said home run threats. Yeah.
This player's career?
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. I'm going to take a shot. No, he couldn't because he barely played in 80. No, I'm just going to say it. Mike Socia.
Mike Socia is correct.
So he's 80 to 92.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. Wow. Because there had to be like a 1 or a 2
there
in there.
There are 2 ones in there.
So one of my favorite things now, obviously, like, you know, stats weren't always like part of the broadcast and stuff, but when Mike Socia hit the home run off Dwight Gooden in game 4 of the 88 NLCS. The Dodgers were down 2-1. They're down 4-2 in the ninth. That series is basically over at this point. They're about to go down 3-1. It would have been rough sledding. First guy gets on, then Mike Scioscia hunting a fastball like nobody's ever hunted a fastball. Hits it over the fence. By the time Scioscia's like not even to second base, Al Michaels is like, he has 35 home runs in 8.5 years. I will, like, for, so that's always stuck in my head. Like, yeah, because I like, he was the occasional home run guy, but like, yeah. But like, so was Jaeger. Jaeger had more power, but like, he didn't play but a lot.
Before, too, if you like, hadn't guessed Jaeger, I would have told, my hint was going to be, I would not consider either of these really home run
threats. Yeah.
Can Eric name the current Dodger who has the longest streak of homering at least once in consecutive seasons?
And this is for the Dodgers?
I believe so. I'm going to double check something real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's for the Dodgers, just given the departure,
it is for the Dodgers.
Then it's Chris Taylor.
It is Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was making.
Wait, but he's tied with Barnes then.
No, Chris Taylor has 8 straight Stevens. 2016, he hit one after the, right after the trade.
Touche. Yeah.
And then Barnes has 7, and then Muncy with 6.
Yeah.
In the wild card era, you think you might get this one. There was one double-digit year streak of homering at least once in consecutive seasons. Can Eric name this player?
Wait. Oh. What? Oh, double-digit year streak. So, oh, that has to be Karros. It does not have to be Karros.
I'm shaking my head for all the listening audience.
Oh, so also, he predated, part of that predated the wild card era. So, technicality, that's the only reason I'm wrong. Oh, Andre Ethier.
There you go. It's like you were rattling off stats this man.
So, but getting back to Muncy, I should have noted this before. So, Thursday, I think, was the last day of this. He homered late in that game to pull the Dodgers within one. 9 straight games with an extra base hit at that point. And that ties a Dodgers record. Jack Fournier in, like, 1925 for Brooklyn. And then John Roseboro, another catcher you wouldn't expect home runs out of, had the other streak. But Muncy, like, hurt his shoulder. It looked very bad on the broadcast, like he on a swing on Sunday. And he came out late. He finished the at-bat, like, it was one pitch, and he struck out. But, like, he was, like, he swung, and he's, like, oh. And then he's, like, he's stretching out his shoulder. After the game, Roberts is, like, he tweaked his shoulder. We don't think it's an IL situation, which, you know how this goes, right? Like, there's off day Monday. They're going to come into Miami Tuesday. But we're going to, he's obviously not going to start Tuesday. Then they're going to be, like, well, we'll see.
You know, we know amputation's off the table, so don't worry about it.
Right,
that.
Exactly. So, like, but it's like the timing, because he had just during that X-ray hit streak earlier in the streak, he got his average, like, last week above 2, like, starting with a 2 for the first time in, like, over 2 months. So he's, like, just starting to, like, pick it up. Like, he's had a above-average offensive year generally. But, like, you know, he's just starting to, like, find another gear. And it's, like, rough timing if it's anything serious. So, yeah.
The famous Dodger infield played together from June 1973 through the 81 season. Can Eric guess the longest streak of consecutive seasons when the foursome, Garvey, Lopes, Russell, and Say, all homered at least once that season?
Okay. The problem is trying to guess what's the Bill Russell zero year. I'm gonna say it's 5, and it's 76-80.
You are on the money.
Oh, really?
Okay. Bill Russell had 2 zeros, 75 and 81. So.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good? You did great.
I am feeling good. I pulled that one out of my butt. So, yeah.
What is your immaculate grid strategy? The first name that comes to you, or do you try to think of an obscure player? Also, is Matt Herges a favorite answer? You're much better at this than me, so I'm going to start. I started by, like, always forcing the hardest player I could do, but there were a lot where I was just off. Did you know that Matt Kemp in his should-have-been MVP season only hit 39 home runs?
I did know that, because they also had a rain out in Washington, D.C. when we all everyone knows he would have homered in that game that they never made up. So,
yeah, he was my closest attempt yet to get a grid, and didn't happen. So especially if it's a Dodger, I will try to do obscure. And a lot of times I love to do famous players who have low percentages. That's my favorite name to kind of go for. But I'm not the expert, especially in relief pitchers that you are, Eric. So I'm happy to just get names.
I have found in playing Immaculate Grid, I have a lot of blind spots.
I have definitely found like American League teams. I just really, really struggle.
Yeah, I start. So I don't play it every day. I play it when I get to it, and I'll check it. Like my usual like quote unquote game time is either before I go to bed, or maybe when I wake up and I'm like on the iPad, I'll do like the New York Times spelling bee, the crossword, and maybe like the Sudokus or something like in that range. Then I will occasionally do Immaculate Grid. I think I got caught up in trying to do obscure, to where I would lock up on like basic stuff and then just forget like any single person who played for like these two teams or whatever. So when it comes to Dodgers, I do try to think of the most obscure because I try to get like less than 1% for those. Also, anytime I believe that were the Nationals yesterday or today, I don't remember. Anytime it's a National, I try to guess an Expo.
For sure.
I try to go to like my era, which is like basically 1980s baseball cards, and like so it's harder to do that sometimes, but like that's what I go to. I do enjoy guessing Dave Parker a lot, because he's like an extremely good player, but also is surprisingly low percentage on a lot of people. Forget that he played for the Brewers and the Angels, and the Reds, even though he was like second in MVP with the Reds 1 year. But yeah, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, I don't think Matt Hurd just hasn't come up as a lot that I can remember, because I don't remember when, how many times they actually do same division people, but maybe I'm just not, but yeah, I don't know. Then at a certain point, I just try to have fun. Like also whenever possible, guess Eddie Murray. also that's another rule. But yeah, no, it's, I just try to like, I try to make it more fun than like, oh, why can't I get this? You know, kind of a thing, because then it gets frustrating. So yeah.
According to Baseball Reference, 39 home runs are the most hit from the leadoff spot. Mookie Betts has hit 38 from the number one spot. For the contest, predict the game where Betts surpasses Alfonso Soriano and George Springer for the record.
Okay, so he's at 38 now. The Dodgers have played 136 games, so they have 26 left. This week they are playing at Miami for 3 games, at Washington for 3 games, and then they're back home for the Padres. But he's already at 38, so I'll let you go first if you want.
September 5th.
Okay, I was like, that's too late. That's Tuesday. Yeah, all right. Mookie. Wait, you're saying...
Yes.
Hold on.
He's hitting 2 home runs on Tuesday is what I'm saying.
Okay, so he's surpassing 39. So, oh boy. I'm going to say Friday, the 8th.
Hater.
I am a hater. I will note, I believe he's at 98 RBIs right now, and only 2 players have ever driven in 100 from the leadoff spot. So I think he's going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
For the next one? I don't know why I had to. It's not a trivia question. Don't worry. I'm not freaking you out. While the MVP races in both leagues are full of big names, the Cy Young Award races look really open. What are your thoughts on which pitchers need a big September to win the prize?
I have not looked at this one for 1 second. No Dodgers are going to qualify for any of, for, because they're not going to have enough innings. Not that that's like the sole determinant, but like I just haven't been paying attention. Now, I did check before we went on. So Blake Snell is leading with a 2.50 ERA the National League. He also walks a billion, and like he had a really good stretch there. But like, yeah, I know Cy Young is wild. Like, but no. So anyway, he has a 2.50. I just want to know Clayton Kershaw currently at 2.48. But he's also 24 and HI, and he's not going to qualify. But just to show you where we're at. But like, so legitimately, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly were having good years. Zach Gallen, I think, more so than Merrill Kelly. And the Dodgers absolutely put the wood to both of those guys earlier in the week. Not that that, like, you know, knocks them out, but just like, it is a weird year. I think Zach Wheeler leads in Fangraphs war, and like, his numbers are okay, but like, I was trying to figure out how his WAR was so much higher, but it's wide open. I have a vote for Rookie of the Year this year, NL Rookie of the Year. Sadly, Kaz Ishii is not on the ballot. Well, he could be. I could write him in. No. So I have not been thinking too much about the Cy Young, to be honest. I just haven't been. It just hasn't been on the radar. Like Spencer Strider is having a great year. I think he leads in strikeouts. The Dodgers did get 4 runs off him the other night, but he also struck out a ton. It's probably wide open.
Yeah. It'll be really, like, it really is just, there's a lot of names that don't necessarily need a September win if the other potential players have bad Septembers, but it's definitely, nothing's set for sure.
Yep. Bobby Miller, I think, is what we're saying.
Ryan Yarbrough?
You know what? It's good when you make good points.
Hopefully we get a chance to get dim sum in the near future, but my question is about when was the last time you ate Chinese food? For myself, a few weeks ago, I had to pick up food for dinner. We had sweet and sour pork, beef and broccoli, vegetable chow mein, and walnut shrimp. And while I have not had it in a while, I love Panda Express orange chicken as much as the last person. Anyway, love to hear your favorites, and have a good week.
So, I do like Panda Express as a very, like, a quick option for that. And you know what's weird? I don't dislike orange chicken, but I don't really get orange chicken when I go there. I like getting actually chicken and mushroom. Beef and broccoli is a classic. There's like a I'm trying to think, like, Kung Pao chicken is fine. I like the spice of it. I'm trying to think of something else that stands out. There's a ton of, like, good options. I do like when I order like a Chinese fast food type place, or just Chinese food in general, I tend to skew more noodles there. Because I think I make rice more at home. So I think that's my go-to. One of those things and noodles or something.
So I've had 2 bad food poisonings as a kid. Oh. One was garlic shrimp at a Chinese restaurant. And the other was a fish taco from Baja Fresh.
Baja, oh no, not unfresh. So fresh. Yeah, exactly.
Things that resemble those two, and I haven't pinpointed, cilantro is a big one that I have pinpointed, but there can be other things that if they, like, it tricks my brain into thinking that's the same thing, it'll fight it and give me nausea and all sorts of sad things. That said, especially at dim sum, there are a number of dishes, most of which resembling Bowen dumplings that I can eat
and
dim sum was actually the last time I had Chinese food. It was while my son was in the NICU, was my wife's birthday came out, so we were at there's a really good dim sum place in Kansas City. We're like, want to go there? It's down the block, so it was you know, a mile away, but closer than Lawrence. So we went and had a fantastic meal. It was really delicious.
I was trying to think. I think the last time I had Chinese food has probably been like 2-3 months. Like, I just haven't had it in a while. And we're recording this later on Sunday night, but like to the point where I just checked my phone and that my local Panda Express is already closed, and I'm cursing Craig under my breath.
Right, I mean, now. I'm sure there's a a small business one that's open. Get yourself to Google reviews or something.
Yeah, it's already like it's too late for that. I have to get out of my car? What I have to try? No, anyway. Yeah, that's as always, we're hungry when we're done with this. But you know who else is hungry? Our listeners. For more Dodgers baseball.
I thought you were going to go with Bobby Miller again, but
I was who knows, but he's probably hungry for another win. He'll pitch in the National Series, but that's it for us. We'll be back with a regular episode next week. Hope you are enjoying whatever food, Chinese or otherwise, that you are eating while listening to this. See if I can land this plane easily. Nope, I cannot. That's it.
I believe in you.
We're the 3-Inning Save Podcast. I'm Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. We are produced by Brian Salvatore. We are part of the Fans First Sports Network. We'll talk to you next week.